Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. No one beats him in his house. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Thursday, November 27th, 2014. Primetime Sports on your radio, on your television, and the Sportsnet family of networks. There's truly Bob McCowan. John Shannon will be in for the next 2 hours. Not this hour, next hour, and the hour after that. This hour, Sid What's-His-Name and Jeff Hoosie What's-Its in studio. Why are you both here?
I didn't know Sid was going to be here.
I didn't know Jeff was going to be here.
I didn't know either you were going to be
here. It's like we're wearing the same dress at the same party. It's very awkward right now.
It is awkward. Although,
I got a high slit because my leg looks like that.
I've heard you had a high slit. Yeah, you have a high slit.
What?
I've heard that.
But seriously, I have great legs. I have fantastic, like, don't even start. Don't look at me like that, Bob. It's true. I have great legs.
Has somebody told you this?
Yes. Earth. And a mirror. I could see. I got eyes.
What do you make of him?
That's a loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
It's a loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
How much time do you have? How you doing, Bob? It's American.
I kind of missed the other
guy. Please. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say happy American Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Are you having a turkey?
I don't know.
I really want turkey today.
I've had a craving for turkey all day.
My wife hasn't said a word.
Oh, then that means she's cooking turkey.
Well, except she wasn't there when I left an hour ago.
That might be dicey.
How's she going to cook that turkey?
Might be tough.
Can I not get turkey at Dirty Bird?
What?
Swiss. I'm just saying. We're all friends here. Can I not pick up like a turkey something at Swiss Chalet? With some stuffing on it and a Lindor? Lindor in the stuffing?
I don't think so. Can you?
Well, I think they should think about it. They should think about it like on Thanksgiving weekend for Canadians. We deserve a turkey option that is viable and helps all people.
Because
right now we don't have...
Too.
What do you Shannon want? Shannon wants more airtime. Well, you got to be kidding
come and sit
me.
Down then. No? Oh, he doesn't want to come in. He just wants to be annoying. Just hang out by the window.
That's freaky.
It is.
No one has more airtime than John Shannon. Nobody. The three of us host shows in this room get less airtime than John Shannon. Less.
Well, I haven't invited him on anything. I don't know how he gets on.
That's a good point.
I just come in and he's on. He's on for 2 hours today.
Have you always worked American Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Like you never took one off?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I thought today and tomorrow would be like part of the bushel full of days that you might throw out there and use.
No, what would I do?
I don't know.
I'm like him. I'm not. If the Browns aren't playing, I'm not likely to watch football.
I'll watch the Vikings. Otherwise, I'm like, I mean, I'll watch a bit of the Eagles and Cowboys, but that's it.
Now you're a Vikings fan?
Yeah. If I don't have a vested interest in the team, I'm not.
What's the connection?
Lived in Winnipeg, Minneapolis.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the team that was on.
It's the team that was on. We'd go down to Minneapolis to watch Vikings games. Like
how long the drive was that?
About 9 hours.
Wow.
Stay overnight, make a weekend of it, go to the Thunderbird Motel right across from the ballpark. All you can eat rib bar Saturday night until 10 o'clock. A very, very, a bar where the bartender was real slack on your ID. So if you're like a 17 or 18-year-old kid from Winnipeg in Golden. Anyhow.
Was it a nice place or was it a hole?
It was a great place.
No, if he was there, it was a hole.
No, it's a great place. It had ribs and a served beer. It's wonderful. And had a bed, too, someplace, allegedly. But.
That's a story for another show.
So, yeah, so I'm a Vikings fan. That's why I only vest. And, of course, the Vikings are a train wreck, and they're an embarrassing team to be a fan of, so I generally don't advertise it that much.
I will watch every second of football I can tonight. Mm. Every second.
You're that into it, huh?
The National Football League is a thing I need in my life.
It is, huh? Wow. See, I'm more like him.
There's specific pockets that
you'll watch. The Browns. I'll watch the Browns, but other than that, you know,
I'll watch it all.
Odd game here or there.
I mentioned this to somebody yesterday. There are like 8 teams who think they can win the Super Bowl this year, and it's amazing. It is amazing to watch.
You know what is amazing? For the 14th year in a row, the Vikings will not be one of them.
They will not be one of them.
As for the Browns?
I don't think so, but...
They got to win Sunday, right? They lose Sunday, they're 7-5, the same as Buffalo.
Yeah, that's bleak then. Oof.
That'd be something if the Bills actually finally get home and suck. They got to go to Detroit, look like $1 million against the Jets. And finally, Ralph Wilson Stadium is ready to be used once again after getting out from 10 feet of snow.
And they'll stink.
And they just stink. Josh Gordon made some comments yesterday. It's going to air on NFL Network this week. I talked to Nate Burleson. And Josh Gordon had the 10-game suspension I think it was the personal conduct policy, if I'm not mistaken.
Mary Jane.
Yep. And he said he felt like persona non grata around the facility. Because he was allowed to be there. He was allowed to train. But nobody really... He felt the cold shoulder, to which the coaches explained, well, most injured guys on NFL rosters kind of feel the same thing. You're there, but you're not there. You're there, but you're not in the meetings. You're there, but you're not, like, Josh Gordon was complaining a little bit that he didn't feel the love during his 10-game suspension. I noticed that yesterday.
But did he get paid?
I believe he did, yes.
Yeah. So much for love. That's enough love.
Screw the love.
Yeah.
Give me that
check. Got paid and he had marijuana. What's the problem?
He didn't feel the love, though.
Oh.
Didn't feel the love. But the Browns getting him back, that makes him serious, right? He put up some of the best numbers of any wideout last season, and he was still suspended. He missed 4 games.
Well, yeah, what is he, 120, 140 yards, something like that?
120.
Against Atlanta?
8 catches, 120. Mm-hmm. You're right. He's a fantastic talent. I think the Browns are going to the playoffs. I really do.
Boy, look at that division, though. Wow. Cincinnati 7-3-1. The rest are all 7-4.
I don't trust Cincinnati as far as I can throw Cincinnati. I really don't. The Ravens can run the ball. Flacco on his day, amazing.
I don't know what Pittsburgh is either.
Schizophrenic.
Andy Dalton still scares you, doesn't he? Putting your faith in Andy Dalton.
Oh, putting your faith in. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
Andy.
What I mean.
Andy Dalton is a nice quarterback at times.
It's like Alex Smith. Nice quarterback at times.
I don't know. Somebody mentioned the Chiefs at home this Sunday are favored against Denver. I don't know how many times Denver in the last 2 years have been dogs, but this is going to be a week. So Alex Smith's getting a little bit of love. Steelers can run the ball, too. Le'Veon Bell's pretty good.
He's going to sleep. Stop talking NFL football.
I like NFL football. I'm sorry.
All these names.
So last night, the Raptors and the Maple Leafs played.
Yep.
The Maple Leafs, and both of them on Sportsnet channels. The Maple Leafs drew $1.1 million, the Raptors $196,000.
Mm-hmm. Bizarre, isn't it?
That was one of the 196.
Two.
You watched the Raptors last night.
Oh, yeah.
I watched. I'd
three
say,
of us in this room.
I'd say I watched about 75% Raps. And
well, let's also keep in mind, Crosby's on the ice, right?
Yeah.
And Malkin's on the ice. Not that the Leafs need that to draw a million, but it helps. It helps the number.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been following the TV ratings with interest because when we talk Raptors on my show 2 years ago, it was Death Valley for calls. Now you talk Raptors on your show and you can get full phone lines. And it intrigues me that people want to talk about it. Just anecdotally, people I know go to... You know, there are people, I know more people who are saying, you know what, I'm going to Raptors game this year. Haven't gone for 6 years, taking the kids to the Raptors game. And the TV numbers are just horrible.
Well, they're not. Well.
Well.
196 ain't bad.
No, but.
It's pretty good.
You're comparing
a growing brand to the Leafs.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason for the Leafs. The Leafs are just the Leafs. The Leafs are like Notre Dame football. It doesn't matter what they do.
I just don't understand that, though.
It's the way it is.
You know, you got a team now 13-2, and
the only thing I can think, Bob, is once you get outside the 905, no one cares. That's got to be the only thing.
Maybe that's it.
because
that the 196
live, breathe, eat, sleep hockey.
But the 196 would suggest that it is growing outside of the nine. Of
well,
the
yeah, but it's slow. It's a slow growth.
Yeah, it's still, but it's still in relation. I mean, look at the brand in relation to the Leafs, and like it's never a fair fight right now. The Raptors are still really, and it's, I mean, 20 years is nothing for branding.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, though, I think, and Bob, I think you've talked about this, there have been nights where the Raptors have played and have not had head-to-head competition with a major, you know, a major hockey game. And, I mean, I think in a couple of those nights, their numbers have been just a tick over 100, haven't they? But you're talking about that. They weren't, the TV ratings weren't.
Yeah. I think the highest number they've got so far this year is 350 or something like that.
It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. Listen, I'm talking in a room with two other guys who did the same thing I did last night and watched the Raptors. So we're trying to figure out what the other mentality is. The mentality is the Leafs are still a monster. And and people are saying, well, why? Well, because that's the way it is. Sometimes that's the reason. The Leafs are the Leafs. Notre Dame football is Notre Dame football. English Premier League in England is the English Premier League in England. There are things that are just bigger than any other explanation.
Right.
Because it means more. Now, are the Raptors chipping into that? Slowly. Very slowly. Will they get there one day? I don't know if any other sports entity will get there one day in this country. And that includes every other National Hockey League franchise.
Yeah, and I'd get, you know, if the Raptors were a mediocre team or a crummy team, as they've been more often than not, these numbers would make a lot of sense to me. But when the team is playing as well as they are, they tied for the best record in the National Basketball Association, albeit 15 games in, but still 15 games in. You would think that would get people's attention.
They're an entertaining team too. They've all.
What did they score? 126 last night.
Yeah, and they've got.
Jeez, what do you want?
All the things that we like as sports fans. You know, Kyle Lowry, kind of the bulldog guy. They've got guys coming off the bench. There's. Seems to be a real good camaraderie. They seem likable. They honestly, they seem almost like they're an embraceable team. You spend some time around them, you go, it's a pretty good group. They're kind of fun to watch. They appear to be pretty decent guys. They definitely get along. The locker room is great to work. And, you know, I made the point the other day at the Raptors game against Memphis. The people where our seats are, where the press seats are in the corner, and it's near kind of a serving area for the concession staff where they come out, you know, with whatever drinks, hot dogs, whatever, to serve the fans. And at the end of that Memphis game, there were like four or five of them that were just standing beside the press seats. These guys are cheering. They're like yelling. Concessions workers. And it was just, which is fine. I'm thinking, God, you know, people were really into it. There's a connection between the people in that building and the basketball team. And on every level, I would think people would be embracing this team. But maybe it doesn't, you know, we feel that way. Maybe the guy in Winnipeg or the guy in Regina.
But I think we might be looking at this.
The guy in Alberta doesn't.
I don't know if we're looking at this properly. I think 196 on Sportsnet 360 for the Raptors, a channel not everyone gets, head-to-head with the Leafs.
Yeah, that's true.
Is actually kind of staggering when you think about it.
Yeah, it could be.
Crosby and the Leafs, national television, and the Raptors still got a 196 on a quote-unquote specialty channel. That's not bad. That actually, if you flip the argument, that is signs of growth. On a normal night in Atlanta have the appeal in this country of English County cricket.
Slightly less.
And they still got slightly less. And they still got 196,000.
I suppose.
I actually think, and I'm not just trying to spin for the sake of spin, I think that's kind of crazy. Like on a normal night 2 years ago, the Raptors get 20,000. The Raptors get 20,000 last night, head-to-head with Crosby and the Leafs. It's not even a discussion. 196 is pretty damn good.
I don't know.
But trying to make sense of numbers, Bob, we can be here for 5 hours.
No, I get that. I understand that. It's just, it is interesting. All three of us watched more Raptors than Leafs last night. And
frankly,
clearly in the minority by,
the Leafs game was more competitive too, to be quite honest.
What I find interesting too in this.
You never know with basketball though.
Yeah.
Last 5 minutes.
A couple of shots.
Jeff, for the start of your show, it's different because you really streamline it to start your show from a call-in segment standpoint. On Fridays, Bob, when I hear your first hour, where it's just pretty much open, the one topic I find I hear more than any other lately isn't the Leafs, and it ain't the Raptors, it's the Jays.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean anything in this city?
Well, that's a good question, too.
Am I wrong in that?
No, you're not. It's 100%.
Last Friday, you must have had about 80%.
Don't recall. But
Jay's calls. There were a lot of calls. Jay's calls.
You know, I sometimes think it's a function of whatever you get first. Whatever the topic is first, and then people follow up on it. But the truth of the matter is that the lines are pretty much full right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do people change their mind and change their topic while they're waiting? That might be the case, but not that often.
You know, it's funny. We had a discussion this morning in my show, and a couple of people on Twitter mentioned this. I made the point that I've been doing this for 4 years now, and I can't find, you know, we used to joke about the delusional Leafs fan. I can't find the delusional Leafs fan anymore. I think the Leafs have beaten the delusion out of their fan base. No, but this guy made a point. And, you know, I was thinking, I don't get the guy calling up anymore. You know, you guys are way too hard on Jake Gardner. Jake Gardner's going to end up winning the Norris Trophy. You just got to have patience. You don't get that guy anymore.
No, you don't.
You don't get that caller that they've won three in a row. The Toronto media, you got to get behind. You don't get that anymore.
Now you get delusional Jays fan.
Well, maybe more delusional Raptors fan.
I was
13-2. How delusional can you be?
You probably noticed that. We used to poke fun at that. We used to poke fun. Here come the Leafs callers because they've won two in a row. You don't get that anymore. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the narrative is changing.
Well, but again,
maybe the narrative is changing.
And I go back to what I said, 12 minutes ago. You know, 1.1 for the Leafs, 190,000 for the Raptors. It doesn't fit with what I'm experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're
Are you getting 5-1 Leaf calls over Raptors calls? Not even close.
Nope.
But again, Jeff, you give people specific directives, if I could characterize it that way.
Yeah.
In your call-in segments.
Yeah.
Like you have a question. What about this guy? What do you do with this guy? What about Kadri? What about, I think you lead people down roads.
Yeah, but it used to be because you couldn't lead people down the road with the Raptors. You just couldn't because you could just tell you, just look at the phone lines. And now talk Raptors. And like I said, the phone lines are pretty much full. And and more to the point, you start getting people asking you to talk about the Raptors, which I've never had. You know, I always get enough hockey talk. All you guys talk about is hockey. Well, you get that all the time. But I've never had people say, can you talk Raptors? And not just people on Twitter, you know, you guys have got to talk Raptors. There's something more than hockey. You'll get emails from people. You talk a little more Raptors. Never used to do that. Never used to get that.
Raptors have been around 20 years. How many of those seasons have they been good? Seriously. Five?
I was going to say four.
Four. Maybe. Four or five.
Four or five, yeah.
That's tough on branding.
Yeah.
The Jays, from 85 on, had a team that could have made the postseason most of those years up until 93.
All right.
87, they should have made the postseason.
They should have made the postseason.
Like, you had seven straight years, seven or eight straight years of not just a playoff team, but in three of those years, probably a team good enough to get to a World Series. And in two of those years, they did. That helps. Because I'm sure baseball at one moment in this country was having a very similar discussion to what we're having now. And only when you get to that point, only when Bob Costas is calling games at Skydome, do Canadians go, wow, this is pretty amazing. Americans are taking us seriously. And if people want to hate me for that comment, that matters to a lot of us up here, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. The Raptors for 20 years have sucked for 85% of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good for branding. And what this team has to do on the court and off it is just rebuild. Because people haven't been given a lot of chances to love this team. Even, I mean, the Vince shooting star faded so quickly and violently, there was almost no lasting power.
The other thing this team has too is nobody is looking at this team and saying, okay, when does that guy leave? Nobody's looking because Kyle Lowry's here. He's re-up. Nobody's going, when does Kyle Lowry leave? Sure. When's DeMar DeRozan leave? I mean, Amir Johnson's a free agent. I mean, you can have a basketball debate about whether or not you want to give Amir Johnson a lot of money to keep him here. But think about the other teams. Chris Bosch, we all knew Chris Bosch was going to go eventually. Even when Chris re-upped, the narrative was, okay, that's great. He's here. When does he go? When does he finally get the call? When does he go? This is the first Raptors team in a while that people look at them and go, nobody's going anywhere. They're all going
to
be here.
And there was a moment, to that point, you're bang on. In Bosch's last year, they were hovering around eighth after Christmas. What was the discussion? Do you trade Chris?
Yeah. Because you know he's going, he's going to leave.
He's gone. There was no, you can't, for the majority of the franchise, they haven't let you be excited.
Yeah.
It's been that kind of mentality. The dark cloud, doomsday, what's next? The job of this team is to have some semblance of consistency.
Yeah.
Winning a playoff series will go a long way in that. And I think it's just one.
Mm-hmm.
After that, who knows? But, I mean, we all remember that kind of fever that cut on at the end of that Brooklyn series. That was pretty big. And they didn't win a series.
Yeah.
So I just think you got to give people that taste and give them some consistent, good basketball, which this city hasn't had and this country hasn't had. And I think it's there. Is it as big as a Leaf audience? I'm never going to say that because I think it's crazy to suggest it. But it can grow. It can become 400,000 or 500,000 maybe, which the Jays pull a night minimum.
Yeah, when they're on a still bad night.
On a bad night.
On a bad night, yeah.
I'm talking like May, like June. Yeah. When things are, you know, you guys know what I'm saying. I think they can get there, but that consistency has to be there. And they have to build that fan base because the fan base that's tuning in, the 500,000 that's tuning in they're getting, were born in the late 80s.
Yeah, again, the Blue Jays don't have real competition during the summer months. And the Raptors will always have the Leafs.
Yeah. The only time the Blue Jays
schedules are essentially parallel
with CFL. That's the only time.
But if the Leafs keep tripping over themselves, what does that mean?
But it's been...
Does their success have anything to do with what... Like, if the Raptors make the playoffs 5 out of the next 7 years, hypothetically, and the Leafs make it once in the next 6 years, does that move this dial at all?
I don't know.
I don't know if it does either. You might have, some people would argue it, but I mean, come the spring, people are going to find something to get excited about if the Raptors are consistently there for them in the city. That's what the Leafs have to be very careful of.
Well,
I'm not saying the Leafs don't get a million. But what I'm saying is come April, people are going to go to someplace else where the atmosphere is better inside and outside. And it's North American eyes, and it's TNT, and it's ESPN, and the Leafs are golfing. That can't help grow a hockey base. Like, how's a hockey base catering to young demographics?
Yeah, but
how are they doing that?
Well,
how on earth are the Leafs catering to a next generation of fans in the city? Do they have to? You can argue no. But the Raptors are doing a lot of right things right now. Did they stumble into some of them? Of course they did. The Rudy Gay trade was the tank. That was the tank.
Let's also not forget that Masai Ujiri wanted to trade Kyle Lowry.
Correct.
And it was Jim Dolan interfering with the New York Knicks that prevented that deal from happening.
Because Dolan fears Masai.
Exactly.
Every GM fears Masai. No one wants to deal with Masai.
No, because
he will smack you in the face with a trade.
Yeah.
And you'll be, and that's your legacy.
Well, quickly. What else are the Blue Jays doing?
Well, I think they might feel a little more optimistic about re-signing Melky Cabrera after Arizona signed Yasmani Tomas yesterday, because Arizona was a team that was really on Melky. I mean, they had John Vanderwall, one of their scouts, following the Jays, pardon me, for a couple of weeks, specifically focusing on Melky Cabrera and doing due diligence. I mean, they were poking around trying to figure out, you know, is he a good guy? I mean, what explains the surge in production? They've done a lot of due diligence in him, and now they've got the Cuban outfielder. They've got no room for Melky. So I know Alex has told Melky's agents, we have to know by the winter meetings whether you're coming back or not. And if you're not coming back, we're moving on, and we're going to take care of what we have to do at the winter meetings. So the winter meetings are about another 10 days away. So they're waiting for that to be resolved. They haven't made an offer to Andrew Miller yet, but they will talk to Andrew Miller's agents.
Do you think anyone else has made an offer to Miller?
I think a couple of teams probably have, but his agent's going to slow play the market. You'll see a lot of action of him in the winter meetings. And that his agent, Mark Rogers, that's kind of the way he does business.
You're anticipating a busy winter meetings, aren't you? Like, you're like, I'm getting the sense that you think stuff's going to happen.
Well, there's so many free agents out there.
Yeah, I think Al...
And so many teams want to make trades, it seems.
Yeah, I think Alex is going to... I think he's going to sign a free agent pitcher. I still think Miller's the guy. I mean, the same guys that told me that they had internal discussions about Russ Martin are telling me that they've had the same discussions about Andrew Miller, and he's the guy they've pinpointed. I think he'll be the guy they'll focus on, and they'll try to make a trade for a position player as well. And the winter meetings, again, it depends. If all these guys are still out on the market, if Lester and Scherzer haven't gone by the time the winter meetings roll around, it's going to kind of slow down.
What's
you know, the whole process.
Is this good or bad that Scherzer's still out there? Like, he's 20-something million?
It's a Scott Boras client. It's vintage Scott Boras.
So this won't affect...
Wait.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's all he You're does right. is wait.
And he's also got a client that doesn't really care. I mean, Max Scherzer's already turned down a chunk of money with the Detroit Tigers. He's wired differently. He's a completely different guy.
He knows his worth.
He's
got no problem with that.
He's got trust in Scott Boras, and Boras will get him the money eventually. And you know what? If he ends up taking $1 million less because he waited too long, $1 million less a year, whatever. He'll deal with it.
Are Lester and Scherzer waiting on each other?
Does
one affect the other?
I don't think so. Because there's a lot more action on Lester than Scherzer. And that may be because Lester's agent's been a little more proactive. And also, I think the Red Sox are driving the bus on Lester, and they're not in on Scherzer yet. The Red Sox want to get stuff done early.
What is the perceived problem with Scherzer?
Scott Boras is his agent. That's the problem. A lot of teams won't deal with a Scott Boras client. They just won't.
There's numbers there. I mean, from an innings pitch standpoint, like, he might not be able to go deeper into games like other guys. Like, there's some knocks on Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
I see an ace. I see a number one guy.
I still think more people view John Lester as an ace than they do Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I agree. You're right.
And I think for a lot of teams, I mean, Lester's got the postseason pedigree. You know, he's pitched in Boston, so you know that he can handle pitching in screwy markets, big markets. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, I would take Scherzer as well, but if you asked me right now to pick between those two, I'd probably pick Lester. And there's another dynamic here, too. There's a lot of pitchers who are a year away from free agency. There are like 12. Johnny Cueto, Rick Porcello, David Price is going to stay, Giovanni Gallardo, Zach Greinke can opt out. There are a lot of guys who are a little younger than the free agent guys who are probably going to be traded by their team. Cincinnati's basically said, we've got 4 pitchers who are going to be free agents at the end of next year. We're not signing 3 of them. So make us an offer. And I think that's kind of gummed up the works a little bit, too.
I think you're right. Dodgers have been very quiet, too.
Yeah.
Surprisingly quiet.
They'll move that outfielder eventually.
Yeah,
I
think so.
And they'll get something for him. If they eat some salary, they'll get, like, Kemp. If you eat some of Kemp's salary, I'd be all over that. I know his health track record is poor. But depending on what I'm paying for him, I'll take that risk. Although Alex is a little gun-shy considering...
Yeah, I wouldn't take him here.
How certain guys have worked out.
I wouldn't take
him.
I'm
still a Kemp guy. I like Matt Kemp.
Yeah, I would.
But at a certain price, not at $20 million.
I wouldn't take him here in this city.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. We got to take the break. Doug Smith's going to join us in a minute. Thanks for sticking around.
No problem.
Enjoy your rest of American Thanksgiving.
I'm going to look for some turkey. If anyone knows where I can find some, let me know. At Sid_Sixer.
I used to have a couple of places, but
I'm a turkey guy.
Help you know.
Doesn't your Mary Brown's place have turkey?
No, they have cholesterol.
Oh.
A lot of it.
I got a lot of it, too.
They have a cholesterol combo.
I don't know how to give you any, but I'd be happy to try. Doug Smith of the Toronto Star, when we come back, it's prime time on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590. We'll be right back.
23 before the hour. Yours truly, Bob McCown, along with Jeff Blair. He's here for the first hour of the program. John Shannon will be in after that. J.P. Morosi, Glenn Healy, Brad Treliving, Calgary Flames general manager, all joining us on the program later in the show. Doug Smith is in Los Angeles, California, to watch Andrew Wiggins play tomorrow night, Smitty?
Tomorrow night, yep. Going to catch up with him and maybe see the Laker guys and meet the Raptors out here on the weekend.
A particular reason that why you're there early to see Wiggins play? What are you looking for?
No, I'm just gonna. We haven't written a takeout on him all year. Haven't seen, you know, it's been long enough into the season that he might have something to say, and just sort of like do something a little bit different than cover another Raptor game. Although they're going so well, you don't want to be away from him too long.
he's had a pretty good start to his career, hasn't he, Wiggins?
Relatively, yeah. You know, there have been nights where he's looked like a 18-year-old kid, but I think generally the scouts that I talked to this week sort of catching up on him, everybody's pretty pleased with where he is for, you know, first-year kid playing in a really, really difficult conference in a really, really hard position.
What do you see as the long-range future of this guy?
Well, you know, not having seen him in person all that often, I can't really say, but I don't know if he'll ever be an MVP or a all-NBA player, but he's certainly got the skill to be an all-star multiple year. The one thing that sets him apart right now is he defends really well, and he's sort of like that's the thing that they don't have to teach him an awful lot. The offense will come when he gets up to the speed of the game and the quality of the opposition every night, but he defends, and that's generally the hardest part for young kids to learn.
Doug, when he came out of college, one of the things the Timberwolves said right away was that, yeah, he's a work in progress, he's young, but we know that he's going to be able to defend as soon as we send him on the court. Is that a product of having played for Bill Self, or is it something that speaks to his athleticism and his desire and, you know, all that sort of stuff that sometimes hard to quantify? Because you don't hear that a guy's ready to play NBA defense out of college, but you heard that a bit with this guy.
I think it's body type. I think he's so long and so quick that he just, and his instincts, he's a smart basketball player. I think he's got a lot of instinctual moves defensively that you can't teach and that you just sort of have. And he's able to show them here at the highest, at the NBA level most nights. You know, he's a rookie. He's going to have nights where he looks like a rookie. But overall, I think everybody's pleased with where he is and where he's going in his first 15 or 16 games, whatever they played.
6 in a row for the Toronto Raptors, 13-2 overall, tied for the best record in the NBA, opening up ground in the East as Washington and Chicago kind of stumble around a little bit. It doesn't get any better. I mean, it's hard to see this stopping right now.
It really is, because they're winning games in such different manners. You know, some nights it's one guy, some nights it's another guy, some nights they get ahead and coast, some nights they come from behind because they just got so many different offensive weapons. They still haven't really played great defense for any stretch of games, but their offense is so good that it makes it sort of masking. They give up, almost 50% shooting at 100 and how many points last night and one easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the interesting thing, is that they really haven't had a stretch of 4 or 5 games where they've locked teams down. And when they get that, who knows what they'll do? But, yeah, you know, 13-2 is great. And it's, you know, they're going to lose 32 games. They're going to lose 30 games. You know, I don't think that's when that happens, how they handle those losses when 2 or 3 come in a row is going to be the interesting part. I think they'll handle them well because they don't seem to care. They just play.
Doug, the thing that kind of intrigues me about where this team is right now as well is, I mean, I would argue that of their five starters, probably Kyle Lowry's the one who's closest, playing close to where he was at his peak last year. I mean, DeMar's game, DeMar, look, I'm not going to enter into debate in how good DeMar is, but there have been nights where DeMar's shooting hasn't been what we expect from him. Terrence Ross, I don't know. I don't know if he's sort of maxed out or playing at the level he was playing last year when he was good. And Jonas has had games where he's had some points, but I think most people would agree that he's still a work in progress defensively. I'm looking at that team, and even at 13-2, I'm thinking there's still opportunity for growth in the starters. which is, when you think about it, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, there really is. And you're right, Jeff. They haven't played. There have been guys who have been spotty all year, and that's the brilliance of what Mazai's done. He's built a team where two of the second five guys can carry you for a night. And if you ever get the five starters going at one time, then things maybe get better. And it's hard to imagine better. But, you know, they've had an easy schedule, and they've caught some teams on nights when teams weren't ready or full or capable. But the thing is, you need to take care of what you got to take care of, and they have. And that's the big thing. People say, oh, they played a cupcake schedule. Well, yeah, but they still beat the teams they had to beat. And in the past, this team in a cupcake schedule would lose four games. And it hasn't.
Why did Atlanta want to get rid of Lou Williams?
Money. They were able to get John Salmons and buy him out and save a lot of cash. Some cash. And they, you know, Lou Williams was hurt all last year, and they didn't know what they had for sure. They didn't know whether he would come back all the way. But it was a bit of a salary dump out there. And saved them a little bit of money on the end of the Salmons deal. And again, Lou had played 60 games last year and was still coming back from ACL stuff. So no one really knew that he would get back to where he didn't know he would get back to where he is now. But man, that's got to go down as one of the top four or five trades in Raptor franchise history right now.
Oh, I mean, name the three or four that are better than that.
Yeah, I would give you Roko Ukić and Carlos Delfino for Amir and Sonny Weems.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can count Vince for Antoine Jameson because it was prearranged.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one would be right there. Hey, Kyle Lowry for what turned out to be Steven Adams, pretty damn good trade, too.
Yeah.
Doug.
And there's Oak for Camby.
Wow, yeah.
Although Marcus had a great career.
Well, a little too early, I mean, to make a real evaluation on what Lou Williams ultimately will be. But, man, you know.
I know.
He's electric.
If he doesn't finish the season, well, you're out from his money next year in the summer.
Yeah.
It's a free agent. And you still got the kid, Nogueira, who knows what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
Doug, one of the things that Dwayne Casey's talked about the past couple of games and during the wins, and I know I believe he talked about it today as well, I would think he's probably a little concerned about his perimeter defense. Now, is that a personnel issue or just a matter of a certain, you know, the Raptors are playing a certain type of defense? They're concentrating on trying to shut things down in the middle, and you're going to have to give a little bit in one area to gain in another.
Yeah, I don't think they're having great success. I think the second unit is still learning each other. The first group, you know, Amir Johnson hasn't really played particularly well all season. Mm-hmm. So that big anchor in the back hasn't been there. DeMar, to his credit, did a great job, as great a job as anybody's done in a regular season on LeBron James the other night in Cleveland.
Yes, he did.
But he doesn't do it, you know, 9 times out of 10. So there is absolutely room for improvement defensively. But this team's so bulletproof offensively that it's masking it. And that's you know, they've got to win games, and that's the bottom line. But they could be significantly better defensively.
Well, you haven't had a really big night from DeRozan, at least for a while anyway.
No, not a really big offense. Not a dominant takeover the game offense, as I know.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I'm not talking about a 45 or 50-point night, but I'm just, you know, low 30s. In fact, his shooting has been real iffy the last five or six games. Any particular reason?
No, he's seeing defenses that he didn't see very much of last year.
He's getting doubled and tripled now, and he wasn't before.
He's absolutely game planning for, and it's not mm-hmm. just the second guy. It's the third guy in the shadows.
Yeah.
No, it's the guy shading. It's the other guy. But you know, to his credit, I think his assists are up, and his passing is much improved. He's not. He does force a bunch of shots every now and then, but on the whole, you can nitpick possessions for every player in the NBA every game. No question about that. On the whole, his willingness and his ability to pass out of trouble is much better this year than it was last.
Doug, you spent a lot of time around this team. Tell me why the more I watch this team and the more I'm in that locker room, I like Chuck Hayes. Seriously, I think you know what I mean. I mean, I just, he's obviously, fans like him, and people on Twitter like him, but there's just something about watching him play. I get a kick out of watching him play. I really do.
He can't do anything, but he does everything.
Exactly. That's it. Exactly.
You know, he can't jump. He can't run. He does. He's not explosive. You know, he's an on the floor kind of guy, but he pushes people around. He's a great passer offensively, and he just knows how to play. You know, he reminds me of, and this was turned out to be a horrible year, but a very good player in the old head kind of way was Michael Curry when he was here for 1 year, the Kevin O'Neill year.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Hayes is like a 5 year younger Michael Curry. He just knows how to play basketball. He's not really vocally assertive, but he moves people around to the right spots, even when he's not playing. Watch him in timeouts. He's taking guys aside. Hey, maybe you want to point and do this, go there. He's just a smart basketball player who's absolutely willing to be what he is. It doesn't harbor any illusions to being anything other than what he is, which is the fifth big or fourth big in the best case scenario on this team.
You're around these guys a lot more than we are. Is it accurate what I think I see from the outside? These guys really aren't that excited about being 13-2.
And I guess that's an odd way to put it, but you're probably right. Yeah, they realize that losses are going to come, and that they got a lot of work to do, and that they really haven't done anything. And 13-2 is great, and leading the NBA or tied for the NBA lead. And I think they've just about clinched the Atlantic Division. That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
That's a really good thing for them. But they're not certainly not sad. They're not going to be satisfied until they're playing at least in the second round next May and June. Like, that's the bottom line. They know they're good, but they're certainly not going to believe anything until they get to games that really, really matter. And that comes in April and May.
Yeah. Well, a lot of basketball to be played between now and then, but boy, has it been entertaining so far.
They're certainly not cocky, and that's good.
No, they're not. Anything but.
Yeah. And then and I think that's a reflection of their coach. Mm. I really do.
Yeah, I can't argue the point. Listen.
They got a lot of Casey in them.
Yeah. Have a great time out in L.A., and we'll talk soon.
It's 29 and sunny, and I might go work by the pool, so I think I'll probably be able to get through it.
You think you'll be okay?
I think I'll be all right.
Soldier on, my friend. Godspeed.
Thanks, Smitty. Doug Smith of the Toronto Star, he's in Los Angeles to watch Andrew Wiggins play tomorrow night.
Going by the pool to write. Sitting by the pool to write.
Mm. Remember those days?
One of the joys of the job. Western time zone trip. Western time zone, get your work done early. Story's in by about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe go for a swim. Go grab a bite to eat. Go to a bar. Maybe see some live music. It's a good life.
You miss it?
Damn right I miss it.
What'd you leave it for then?
There are days I wonder, believe me.
Well, listen, thanks for sticking around here.
No, it was fun. Thank
for
you.
A while. What are you going to go home and watch football now?
No.
What are you going to do if you're not going to watch football?
I'm going to go home and make dinner. I'm going to do some writing, go home and make dinner.
What are you going to write about?
I got a story I'm writing for the website.
Well, what's it about? We want to know.
I can't tell you. It's about Brett Laurie.
Oh, is there something going on? Did you talk to him?
Maybe.
And when is the story going to be up? Tonight?
Depends. Probably tonight or tomorrow morning.
Why are you being so...
I'm not. No, I mean, there's not...
So it's obviously a nothing story.
No, it's a good
story. Now you got to make something over.
Oh, no. It's a good story.
Will we be talking about it tomorrow?
Yeah, perhaps.
All right.
I mean, I'll be. I don't know if you will. He just left it hanging there.
Hmm.
There's really no way to respond to that.
No, there isn't.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Have a good afternoon.
That's Jeff Blair. He'll be back again tomorrow from 9 till whenever you want. Noon? You want till noon?
Around noon.
Yeah.
Just before Hockey Central at noon.
Oh, yeah. That thing is on. When we come back, John Shannon will be in here. John Morosi of Fox Sports and Glenn Healy of the NHL on Sportsnet and the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, who I guess is singularly responsible for the success of that franchise this year. All coming up when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.